93.5, 95.3.
It is 7:35, and on Mondays and Fridays, I so look forward to talking to Brother Johnny, member of the National Academy of Sciences, the Thomas Edison of our time, and icon Mike Ditka from Dumb Bears, and of course, one of the greatest human beings I've ever met. Kind to all, signs autographs for everyone that I've ever seen him being asked about. I mean, his unbelievable generosity. First, Brother Johnny in Houston, Texas. Hey, Johnny.
Great. How are you, Steve?
Good. And Hall of Famer, icon all around, great guy, Mike Ditka. Mike, how are you?
I'm doing good, guys.
All right.
Well, Mike was opening the NFL,
yeah,
Stevie.
Yeah, woohoo! No strike. We're playing football.
Preseason Thursday.
Yeah, what fun, yep. Mike. Was it fun to be back in the saddle?
Well, yeah, it was, really. It was good to see the guys. It was good to do the show. And, you know, like opinions are like noses. We all have one. But I certainly have a strong one about a lot of things, as people who know who listen to the show.
Well, that's what people want from Mike Ditka. They want to know what you think. And so right now, because of the shortened preseason, what are coaches looking at right now?
Well, I think you got to get them ready in a hurry. I think all these rules they put in now, you know, you're only allowed to be in pads 14 times during the season. That's to be once a week in 14 weeks, or the other ones you aren't. This is ridiculous what they've come to, because football is a contact sport. It's a collision sport. And you got to get hitting ready. I mean, you can say, okay, I'm going to get in shape by running and lifting weights, and but you got to be physically fit, and you got to be able to take some hits. So you have to have contact to a certain degree in practice. And if you don't, I think the injuries are going to escalate.
That's how much less is that, for instance, when you were coaching?
Well, me, with us, I was in pads Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I was in pads part day Friday, and then that was it. We were past three and a half times a week. I mean, that's just the way it was. I mean, that's the way I learned under Coach Landry, and that's the way I coached. And when I was playing with the Bears, we wore pads. And we might not wore no thigh pads, but you know, we had shoulder pads and helmets on almost every day. So, I mean, it is what it is. You know, you can't take the game of football and then say, well, I'm not going to do the things that I have to do to prepare during the week, but on Sunday, I'm going to turn it on and be ready to play. No, you're not. You're not going to be ready, and you're going to get hurt.
With the contract so big, Mike, and with everybody not wanting to get hurt, are they really putting it out there for competition, or are they waiting till Sunday?
Well, I think that's basically what they're doing. But, I mean, to me, you're defeating yourself if you do that, because in the end, you're going to get hurt. I mean, I really don't see how you can get ready to play the game of football without a rigorous training schedule of off-season conditioning, running, weightlifting, and then you have to get into practice.
Yeah.
And there's this thing called timing in football. How can you walk through and get timing? You can't. So you have to go at a pretty good tempo, and it has to be darn near full speed. I'm not talking about full speed tackling. I'm talking about full speed contact and running and blocking and stuff like that. Oh.
But, you know, that's it. That's interesting. I think you're right, too. I think timing also comes into play with how you learn to protect yourself and get in that rhythm, and with a break for a week and then going full speed. You're probably right. There probably are going to be more injuries.
Yeah. Well, it's coming. At least we're playing football, guys. And September 8th, it's the Saints whooping on Green Bay and Lambeau Field, Johnny.
Yes, that's a big one. So that's the season opener, the regular season opener.
Yep.
And we still got a couple of preseason games. Get everybody's lineups, and we'll see. I mean,
you're talking about the two teams that won it the last two years, and you're talking the Saints are an outstanding team, an outstanding organization, and so is Green Bay. I mean, what you got to understand, you know, we talked about it tonight. Green Bay had 14 guys on IR, and they won the Super Bowl.
Right.
Now, they're getting all those guys back. They're getting the Ryan Grants back and the other guys back. This is going to be a really, Jermichael Finley and these guys back. They're getting them all back. I think it ought to make them better. I don't know. Maybe I'm stupid, but I think it ought to make them better. So it'll be interesting to see how they do that and how they get over that Super Bowl thing, you know, of being a champion, because you know, it's tough to repeat in this business.
Well, and the Saints were injured pretty severely themselves last year when we went out.
They were beat up pretty good. That's right.
All right, to politics, was this the worst week in Barack Obama's presidency, Johnny?
Well, it was a bad week for him. The good news is he's running for president, and the election's November 2012, and it's August 2011.
Yeah.
So there's a long way to go. I think that it's going to be interesting. There's, I think the Republicans have a lot of interesting candidates. It's going to depend a lot on really, this economy is not looking great, and of course that's kind of his cross to bear as far as the president. So we'll see how it all pans out. But it was a tough week for President Obama, no doubt about
it. And Mike Charles Krautheimer from Fox News called the president clueless and irrelevant.
Well, he has displayed a lack of leadership, I have to say that. And I think somewhere you got to take the bull by the horns. I don't care who your advisors are. You tell them to get out of the way. Here's a decision I'm making, and you go ahead and make it and do it. And I think he would be so much more respected if he did that. You can't. You just can't please everybody in this business, especially in that office. You know, John, you said something, you know. You said the Republicans have a lot of good candidates. That ain't going to cut it. A lot of good candidates is not going to cut it. They got to have one really good candidate, whoever that is. I don't care who it is, female or male. And if they don't, he'll be reelected, period.
Well, in the process, we'll see if it works, because that's what it's supposed to do.
Yeah, we'll see what happens in Iowa. I know everything is supposed to be going on and this and that. And, you know, I hear all the comments, and I hear all the people, and I see the people still taking the slaps at Sarah Palin, and it's pathetic. But this is a very liberal media. I turned on something, and I flipped past MSNBC, which I will not watch, most liberal network in America, but they took a shot at her last night, and it's really pathetic, because these are people who really, to me, who, I mean, they've never accomplished anything in life except they're on the air, and they have a right to say, I guess, what they want to say, and they're backed by their network, but it's pretty pathetic to me.
Well, why so bitter, too? There's so many vitriol.
Well, they're jealous. First of all, they're jealous of a woman who can be successful, who can be a great wife and a great mate and a great mother, and be intelligent, too. And be able to do the right things and run a state. They're jealous of that. They don't think maybe they should do that. And that's kind of amazing to me, because some of the shots she took, even Now organization.
National Organization of Women.
They said that. You know, you're getting a little out of line now.
Right.
And if this is what the liberal cause is all about, it's pretty pathetic. I mean, and when you want to criticize, if you want to criticize her or Michelle Bachmann or any of those people for the lack of experience or leadership, my God, you got to start right in the White House first. I mean, you're talking about a guy that was elected who never, ever ran a major corporation, who never ran a business. He was a state. And I never did anything.
And but you were,
I'm an American. I hope he does well. But I'm saying right now, come on. You know, we need somebody to step up front, and I don't care if you embarrass some people, and you embarrass some people in your own party. Hey, here's what I'm going to do, and this is why I'm going to do it, period. And people would respect him a hell of a lot more.
Well, Stevie, Mike was in, it's ironic, he was in pretty rare company, one of the few people who saw that on MSNBC, because there's not a lot of people watching
it. That's right, that's right.
Well, I don't watch it. I was flipping through,
yeah.
And I just happened to catch it. I heard this woman saying something about Sarah Palin. I just want to hear what she said.
Sure.
It was pathetic.
Yeah. All right.
Well, tell you what, another interesting thing this week, that the cover of Newsweek, it's hard to get an unflattering picture of Michelle Bachmann, but boy, they got a pretty...
Well, I saw that, yeah.
They found one, huh? That's hard to take a bad picture of Michelle Bachmann.
If that's the best you can do, go for it. I mean, but I'll tell you this honestly, so you guys know, the next time I buy a Newsweek magazine will be the first time.
Well, I mean, they're not out to help Michelle Bachmann, that's for sure.
Oh, they're not out to help anybody.
Yeah.
I mean, except the liberal cause. That's all they're out for.
Yeah. Hey,
I listen to Dick Durbin, and you know, it's pathetic to listen to him talk too. You're talking about a know nothing. My God,
Senator,
you know, talking about the Tea Party wants to destroy America. Come on, the Tea Party wants you to quit spending. You know, Abe Lincoln said that in 1961. You can't spend more than you earn.
Yeah.
You can't spend more than you bring in. Wake up, fellas.
Well, I'll tell you too, Stevie. We've got my old buddy Rick Perry. He's rumored to be announcing Saturday.
Yep, in South Carolina tomorrow, he'll announce. And then he goes to Iowa Sunday, and he hangs around Iowa, and he'll be in Iowa Tuesday when President Obama is on his bus tour that the taxpayers are paying for.
Well, I think
maybe he'll hijack that bus.
I think Perry will add something, and we'll see. You know,
I like Rick Perry, but you know what's going to happen, John, when it comes down. You know, they're going to say, well, you know, Rick Perry's a holy roller or this or that. You know, he's too far to the right with this God thing and his Christianity. I mean, and these people come out with that shot. You know, I respect him so much for what he did the other day when he prayed. And I thought it was a class act that he prayed for the president.
I mean,
and I don't think it was, he didn't do that, you know, to show him up. He did it because, you know, he thinks our politicians need help, and they do need help, believe me.
He seems to be the real deal. I don't really know him, but I have met him and talked to him, and I think he's a sincere, honest man. I think he feels like, of course, there people tell him to get in, and maybe he has a chance to win, so he's going to give it a shot.
Tell me, guys, when and I know I missed it, and I know it's been gradual, but when did it become absolutely unbelievably unacceptable to pray?
It never has been, it never will be in the eyes of most Americans. But when you get into the politically correct or the liberal people, then you're going to find a lot of those people who, you know, I really don't understand it. You ask the question, I can't answer.
I think it's an attack on the truth, because you have to get people away from it before you can start to manipulate their thinking. And I see people trying to manipulate the thinking, manipulate facts and utter half-truths and try to get what they want through persuasion that isn't straightforward. That's what I see in prayer. And prayer goes to the very heart and soul of a man and a woman, and we don't need any of that. We want people dependent on government, for example. And
that's one
way of thinking. That's just one set of a sector of our culture, and I think that's part of the battle.
Well, because I tell you, is it not true the further the country moves away from God, the worse it's going to get?
Well, I would think so, Stevie. That's my belief.
There's no question about that. Yeah, my belief too.
But it's like you see Rick Perry at a prayer. He's praying for President Obama. What could be wrong with that?
It's
crazy.
If the individual is so egotistical that he believes he doesn't need prayer from anybody, that might be considered wrong, but my God, if you just look at what he's done, his record, I mean, and they're going to keep throwing this thing back to Bush as long as they can, as long as people will listen. But it's pathetic. If you look at the debt that was run up under Bush, and you look at the debt it's going to be tripled.
And yet it's still, and believe me, they'll say, hey, Rick Perry, Bush 2, is that what you want? Is that what you want? I mean, they're already saying that stuff.
Well, that may not be a negative
anymore. That may not
anymore.
Be too bad.
I don't know how many votes that's going to come.
It's a hell of a lot better than Obama won.
All right, now, before we go to our break, the rumors have already started. I know it's a trickle. Hillary Clinton, and there's some Democrats saying we picked the wrong one. Any chance that Hillary Clinton would run as in the primary?
I don't know.
I don't know. There's probably a chance, but I don't know that she'd win.
I think if it gets to the point where a number of Democratic leaders, party leaders, feel like Barack Obama can no longer win, and I don't think they're there by any means, then, they might have say, let's put up someone else. We're not going to win this race. I kind of feel like Mike right now. I think there's a long way to go. Barack Obama, one of the best campaigners we've ever seen. People are getting used to him, and he's lost the independence, quote unquote, which we keep hearing. But we'll see. And if the economy continues to drop, if the stock market continues to go down, and then who knows what kind of fiasco this committee will put on, what kind of show we'll see there, Steve. So if they came up with something and things started to stabilize, you know, that's one thing. And then if it continues to get worse, you might see a Hillary. It would be Hillary, I think, if they switched horses in the Democratic Party.
It would be unbelievable, but you could see it if things, as you say, Johnny, if party leaders and party people and the heavyweights said, he's not winning, never know, maybe late entry. That's Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka, 93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM. We're back with our final segment. It's Johnny and Mike on the phone. Okay, we got to talk about Steve Stricker. He jumped out with a 63 in the first round at Atlanta Athletic Club. How about Steve Stricker in the PGA?
Well, he's a class act and a great golfer. I can't say enough about Steve Stricker. Fighting Illini.
Yep.
And just a really good guy, Mike. And he's steady. He's always
well. You know, I saw the one. I saw one. Watch him play one hole where he hit the second shot into a trap, and he almost holed the trap shot. And then I guess he did hold one earlier. But I mean, and the guy is just steady, and that's what you need. Nothing fancy. He's not going to be the longest hitter on tour, you know. But he's probably the most consistent ball. One of the most consistent ball strikers on tour right now. And if the putter's working, hey, you know, he's got a good chance to win on any weekend as anybody else. And then shoot that on that golf course, guys. You saw the other scores. I mean, you know, I think somebody got it to 4-under, but that's pretty daggone good.
I'll tell you, Steve, we hear from some inside the PGA sources that he's one of the best life players out there, Steve Stricker.
Well, yeah, that's what
most liked, you mean?
Most liked, yeah. Great guy. Yeah. Never won a major. I mean, probably the best guy to never win a major. So he certainly do. He's 44. He's a great guy, great player. And Tiger birdies three of the first five holes and finishes with 77. And he's in 128th place. If he doesn't go out today, he's not staying the weekend.
Well, you know what it is. I hear people talking. You know, I've become a fan of a Tiger for one reason. He's good for the game of golf. And I realize that, you know, you can lose your greatness and you can find a way to get it back. I think the thing he's lost, he was the most mentally tough guy out there. And I think this whole thing he went through, I think it's taken that mental toughness away from him.
Mm.
You know, he would just stare the other guy down and then he would hit the shot. I don't think he can do that anymore.
Mm.
I think that's right, Mike. His confidence just isn't what it used to be. But maybe he can get it back. You know, it's getting back.
You know, I would hope so, because I think it's good for golf. And I say the same thing about Mickelson. You got to hit the ball in the fairway a lot more if you got to be a great golfer. I don't care how far you hit, you got to hit in the fairway.
Well, Phil was written off in some respects by a lot of people. Never really played badly, but he wasn't maybe meeting expectations, and he came alive here in the last few years.
Yeah, well, I think he's even par, I think, going into today. But, we're one over, I think he is. But, you know, that's okay. But I'm just saying, you know, if I reach that level, and I'm looking at these other guys play, and I'm looking at them to play this golf course, and, you know, you've got to keep the ball in certain areas or you're going to get in trouble, period. So,
yeah. Back to Stricker. Stricker putts like Johnny does when he gets hot with Calamity Jane, Mike.
Oh, yeah. Well, hope wow. That, nobody gets that hot. Nobody.
All right. Final question. Get back to the NFL. It's the Packers. They're the team still? New England, the Packers?
Well, you look at what they did last year with 14 guys on IR. They're getting Ryan Grant. They're getting all these guys back. Again, Jermichael Finley and all these guys back. Don't you think they'd be a little bit better?
Whew, man.
If they had all the guys that they went into the season with that they thought would be their starters, they're all coming back. So if they can keep them healthy, I assume they might be a little bit better than they were a year ago.
Oh.
But that doesn't mean you're going to win anything.
Right.
But
well,
they could be better.
I'll tell you, when you get up to a night game anywhere on the road in the NFL, it's a tough win. And then you're talking about the season opener, a little more energy because there was some question about having a season. And here they're the Super Bowl champs. Tough draw for the Saints. Good football team, though. They'll bring their game face.
Well, the Saints are a good football. The Saints, listen, this could be one of the best games. Unfortunately, I don't like the idea that it's so early in the season, because I really believe, you know, these two teams, the outcome of the first game is not going to make as big a difference as the outcome of the 14th game. And, I mean, these are two of the best teams in football, two of the best coach teams in football. And it'll be good to see him. It's a good way to kick off the NFL season, that's for sure.
Yeah, we're less than a month away. It's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm so excited the NFL is going to play. And, Mike, it's great to see you back on TV on ESPN. I think you're amazing. I mean, your travel schedule is crazy.
Well, it's a little goofy now. This is getting crazy now. I got to be in California and Pittsburgh and everywhere else in the next 3 or 4 days, so it's nuts.
Well, and I tell you what, we're all looking forward. November 11, you'll be here. And Jim McMahon's coming as well, Coach. And everybody's...
What date is it?
That's November 11th. You're coming to Champaign, and we're excited.
I am.
Yes, sir. We got you on the schedule. And I tell you what, it's going to be a sellout, and people are going to be excited to see Coach Mike Ditka. And, Johnny, I know you'll be there with me. It's going to be a lot of fun. And they're going to auction off a dinner for four with Coach, with Johnny and I, and that's going to be fun with Diana and Mike up at Ditka's Fine Restaurant downtown Chicago, which is unbelievably good. It's
good. It's good. It is good. I'm gonna say that it's good. It's great.
I'll tell you something.
It's fantastic. Hey guys, I really appreciate your time. Both of you, will pick it up again on Monday and we'll figure it out. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Stevie.
All right,
thanks,
guys.
Mike.
Take care. God bless you. Okay. Bye bye.
Always a pleasure. We'll get back with him on Monday and talk some more. Brother Johnny and Mike Ditka. And yes, he will be. Big Mike's bringing him in town from This Is It Furniture.
11-11-11.
Yeah, 11-11-11 with the Punky QB and the coach.
Yep.
You want to be part of that, just call Big Mike over there at This Is It. 757. I think he's about got the whole thing sold out. It's going to be a smaller group.
Okay.
And the auction items are nuts.
Huh.
It's going to be a lot of fun.